Good morning, I'm Kieran Rall, and this is Business Matters. Coming up in today's programme, a decade in the making. Niall Doherty, owner of Circle of Light, tells us the health fuel drinks his company have developed after 10 years of research will soon be on the supermarket shelves. And the power of networking. Michael McGinty, owner of Meanit, the Letterkenny-based web design agency, explains the workings of Donegal Business Network and the important role it plays in the local business sector. First up, we talk to Niall Doherty. Good morning, Niall, and you're welcome to Business Matters.
Good morning, Kieran. Thanks very much.
Niall, Circle of Light's products, they've been in the making for quite a while. I'm sure you're glad to be at the stage where you're finally bringing those products to market.
Yeah, I suppose our starting point was simple and centred on the principle that food is medicine. And it's on this premise that has led us to where we are today, launching a range of delicious health-fueled drinks. And as you mentioned there, through 10 years of research and development, we have carefully crafted our products to deliver naturally sourced ingredients with proven, clinically proven health benefits in a manner that nature intended. 10 years is a long time. And, you know, research and development by its very nature is trial and error. And our journey has been one of exploration, always grounded in science, real science, and focused on extracting the unique benefits of each of our carefully selected ingredients. And we're delighted to partner with a number of leading experts in their field to help underpin our belief that food is medicine and to help increase awareness of such an important topic.
Okay. I know the pandemic had huge impact on so many businesses. And I know, talking to yourself, I suppose it couldn't have come at a worse time, Niall. You're probably about 4 months behind time, but you're glad to be back on schedule now.
Yeah, I suppose, look, everybody was impacted some way by the pandemic, COVID-19. Nobody saw it coming, really, and didn't really have that much of an impact on us. I suppose our lead times had been there, and, you know, businesses of this size, like, we're a startup company, and I suppose, you know, just getting traction on stuff, it takes time. And we were lucky that we had lead-in times that it all started, and by and large, none of them had been really impacted by COVID-19. And we're just naturally coming to the point where we're now ready to launch. And I suppose we're lucky that that coincides with the economy opening up. So, you know, we've been lucky there as well, Kieran.
Yeah. Just in terms of, you mentioned the fact that it's a startup. Now, it was a startup in 10 years, as you say, it is a long time. So you were making sure that you had everything right before you sort of got to the stage where you are now.
Yeah, I suppose, look, I've been involved in the company for about 2 years. I came in as an investor 2 years ago. But prior to that, the company was a startup company out of the Incubation Centre in Dublin City University, which is DCU. So they have an invent centre there. And I suppose there's a lot of, you know, by its very nature in a university, there's a lot of research and development going on at any point in time. And I suppose the guys that were behind this particular piece of research, you know, they're all in the health type field. And I suppose originally it was just research for maybe the sake of doing research and for doing, you know, educational type stuff. And over a course of a number of years then, it has been advanced to a certain stage where people were saying, people were maybe asking the question, you know, is there a business here in what we're doing? And I suppose it would have advanced maybe gradually over a number of years along those themes to the point where about 2 years ago, they decided, okay, we're going to try to make a business out of this. And how do we commercialize what we've done? How do we bring it to market? And, you know, how do we effectively, you know, sell this to people, I suppose, is the basic premise.
How challenging has that been, Niall?
Every startup is challenging. And, you know, I suppose we're not making another type of biscuit to go on the shelf with biscuits. We're not making another type of bread to go on the shelf with other breads. You know, we're effectively creating a new niche here and a new market. And, you know, that is challenging because there's a huge communication aspect to what we're doing. And there's a huge education aspect to what we're doing as well. And, you know, that takes time. And whilst we're certain we're in the right space commercially, and whilst we're certain that the market is going in the direction that we're going in, you know, there's challenges there, you know, just to get people educated into what we've done, and I suppose to convince people that, look, this is real science that we're talking about here. It's not marketing spin. And there's a lot of marketing spun in this type in this area. And, you know, this is probably the first time ever where, you know, something has been born out of real science and then been brought to market, as opposed to maybe the other way around.
Okay. What makes your products different, Niall, to others then?
We might just maybe run through a few of them. We have three that we're launching initially, and they're effectively a range of really tasty, healthy drinks. And we've granulated them, so it's not actually liquid, it's a solid. So we've granulated it as a type of powder,
okay.
And it can be mixed with hot, chilled, or sparkling water, depending on your taste. And I suppose the key here is that it's very, very easy to digest. And, you know, typically people will, they'll just mix it with hot water, or some people will put it in through a smoothie, or some people will put the product in through natural yogurt. And all of the products have unique evidence-based health benefits, and all of the claims are clinically proven. There's no, everything's completely natural, everything's free from sugar, artificial colours, flavours and preservatives. And, you know, our CEO, Dr. Sarah Kelly, who was previously a professor in Dublin City University and has a PhD in clinical exercise physiology, would have a strong focus on preventative health herself. And she was determined to create a full range of products that were truly healthy, but had the hard science to back them up as well.
Okay.
I mentioned earlier that we've partnered with a number of leading experts in their fields to help us translate the health benefits to the general public. One of them would be Professor Niall Moyna, from the School of Health and Human Performance in Dublin City University, but is probably better known by the general population for his role in Operation Transformation. And on Doctors in the House, I'm sure you've come across him on the TV yourself.
Indeed.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Professor Moyna is a huge advocate for the natural health benefits of the unroasted green coffee bean, which is a foundation ingredient in our launch product. So maybe we'll just talk about that product initially. So what is green coffee? It's effectively unroasted coffee. So the coffee that you would typically have consumed, you know, all of your life is roasted coffee, which is, I suppose if you go back to what is coffee? Coffee is a fruit. Most people, that'll come as a surprise to most people. It grows on a tree as a red and a green berry. And, you know, to give you what the vast majority of the population consume as coffee is effectively the coffee fruit roasted, which actually kills all the nutrients and beneficial type ingredients in the product. And, you know, effectively, the coffee is one of the few products that doesn't have a nutritional table on it, because there's nothing in it. Everything has been burnt out of it.
Okay.
So what we've done is avoided roasting the coffee. And as a result, we've retained all the nutrient-rich qualities in the green coffee bean. And that green coffee bean is very rich in chlorogenic acid. And it's also very rich in antioxidants and anti-inflammatory properties. And we've blended the green coffee with a range of plant and herbal extracts to deliver all of the health benefits in a refreshing and a tasty drink. I suppose, what's the science behind it? There's strong scientific evidence supporting the fact that chlorogenic acid reduces blood pressure and cholesterol levels. And the stats would be that over 25% of Irish adults suffer from high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or another heart issue. So this is the first time ever that, you know, somebody with high blood pressure or somebody with high cholesterol can, instead of taking medication, instead of taking a pharmaceutical product, you can now take what is effectively a fruit. You can drink a fruit, and it'll give you the same health benefits, a reduction in blood pressure, a reduction in cholesterol levels as medicine. And our aim here all along has been to replace medicine with functional food. And the huge benefit of doing that is you don't have a side effect with a natural type product, whereas, you know, some medications that have been prescribed for high blood pressure and high cholesterol levels have over time actually given people heart disease and caused other side effects. So, you know, it's a breakthrough product now that you can take a natural product and you can have those, you know, health benefits coming out of them.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Fibre 89, we did talk about that earlier in the week about the name of the product, Niall, and how you stuck to Fibre 89.
589, I suppose, is the next product, yeah. I suppose, look, you can get bogged down in the science, particularly when you're dealing with research teams and academics, and, you know, there's a discussion around the table at one stage about, you know, what do we call this product? And, you know, we've moved off now from green coffee onto the next product, obviously. So this product is a gut health product, and it has significant advantages for boosting immune systems and for, you know, there's a lot of research coming out that would link good gut health to good brain health. 589, I suppose we were looking for a name for the product, and, you know, with a number of academics and researchers around the table and a number of lay people, just, I suppose, Joe Soaps, non-scientific people around the table as well. And, you know, various names have been thrown out. And while some of the names made great sense to the academics who had detailed knowledge of the science, you know, the Joe Soaps were sort of asking across the table, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And every time an explanation would be given, another question would come up. And eventually, you know, somebody asked the question, well, what is that? What is this? And, you know, one of the guys said, you know, it's 89% fiber. And, you know, the very simple question back was, well, why don't we call it that?
Yeah.
And suddenly the product became called, you know, Fiber 89, which is, it's like Ron Seal. It's exactly what it says on the tin. It's 89% fiber. And it's a granulated inulin, which is an extract from chicory root, a prebiotic fiber, and, you know, it's a delicious, tasty, refreshing drink with extensive health benefits. Inulin has been available on the market before, but up until now, the problem has been, you know, digesting the product. It was only available in a powder form, and it would become clumpy and lumpy, and, you know, it wasn't easy for the human body to digest it.
Okay.
So what would happen as a result is people would use it as a sort of cooking ingredient and add it into substances like cake.
Okay.
The problem with that is in order to consume the fiber, people were, they were sort of forced to consume additional calories. Whereas now you can actually, with our product, which has been granulated, you can mix it with water and just drink it, and you're consuming the fiber on its own without taking in any additional calories.
Okay.
Research has shown that the chicory inulin, which is, you know, the fiber 89, contributes to normal bowel function, which is a key feature of gut health. And there's also a European Food Safety Authority health claim associated with the product, and that's that inulin or fiber 89 increases stool frequency and therefore relieves constipation. I didn't actually realize how big a problem that was in developed countries. And, you know, when we got into the stats of it, 1 in 5 people in Ireland suffer with constipation. We have a population of about 5 million, so that's 1 million people in Ireland suffer with constipation, which is a huge problem when you think about it. You know, 1 million or the 5 million, that's a huge, huge problem. So who's that product for? It's for everybody. It's not just for anybody that has an issue with constipation. It's for anybody that's interested in improving their gut health. Okay. Because fiber 89 is effectively a fertilizer for the good bacteria in your gut. Okay. And, you know, it's a phenomenal product, and it, you know, keeps everything running right and gives a good boost to the immune system as well.
Okay. And the last of the three that you're launching, Triple Z, Neil, is that right?
Triple Z, it's, I suppose, ZZZ, it's a sleep remedy. And we're especially excited about this product, which will be launching in the next 6 weeks. It's a herbal sleep remedy. And again, I hadn't realized a large proportion of the population have difficulty with sleep. A large proportion of the population will wake up regularly in the middle of the night. And there's a huge demand, you know, for sleep remedy type products in the market. Again, fantastic product, 100% natural. It's made with a combination of lemon balm, valerian, hop, and chamomile.
Okay.
It's a beautiful drink to be taken, you know, approximately an hour within bedtime. I suppose given the times that we're living in, we have found as a company that more and more people are searching for a natural alternative to assist with their sleep. And you may have seen it became very topical there in Google searches and very topical in the mainstream media. People were having more dreams as a result of COVID-19. Now, why that is, I'm not particularly sure, but some of the suggestions that have been offered are that, you know, people have had more time at home, they've had more time alone, more time to think, and I suppose the brain is working that bit faster.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody that had difficulty with sleep or would have had nightmares or a lot of recurring dreams, that sort of stuff, typically it has, you know, been elevated to a much higher level over the course of COVID-19. I don't know if you've heard that elsewhere, Ian.
Yeah,
Now, I suppose it's a long way from your accountancy background in terms of your range of business interests, but you do sound very excited. But in terms of going back to your other career and your other business interests, obviously they all fit in very well at this stage.
Yeah, I suppose I had a quick look back at that. Parts of it I'd forgotten about myself. I attended St. Eunan's, a tennis called Columbkill here in Letterkenny myself. Then I went into St. Eunan's College between 1995 and 2000. I left St. Eunan's and went to Dublin City University and did a degree in accounting and finance and then a master's in accountancy. And that was actually where I first would have met Professor Niall Moynagh. The university was a much smaller place at that time. Everybody would have known everybody. And, you know, I would have kept that link with him for a number of years. And it was him that got in touch with me then at a more recent stage and suggested that, look, there was something here that could be commercialised. They're interested in teaming up with somebody. Was it something I'd be interested in? And he'd heard that I'd been looking for a good opportunity for a while. And, you know, he gave me a ring and I went down and met them. We had a good talk and we all got on well. And, you know, it was the integrity of what they were doing really that attracted me to it. And I just said it was exciting. But anyway, that was my time in DCU. I did a master's in DCU in 2003-2004. I then joined Deloitte & Touche and Edge for Terrace in Dublin and trained as a chartered accountant and a registered tax consultant. I stayed there until 2009, came back home. I would have practiced as a tax consultant. I was heavily involved in renewable energy over the course of the last 10 years. And I suppose another business I would have had there, myself and Enda Nichols owned the Brewery Bar in the Market Square in Letterkenny.
Okay.
And I would have been heavily involved in the community here locally as well over the past few years.
Yeah, you brought your business acumen, I suppose, very much into play with St. Eunan's GA Club over the last 5 years, and you were treasurer there for 5 years now.
I was. Vincent McGlynn came to me about 6 years ago. And I suppose it put pressure on me to step forward and take the treasurer's role in O'Donnell Park. Look, Kieran, I don't know much about football. I can't play it. I can't coach it. I couldn't contribute at any of those levels. But, you know, Vincent made the point to me that, you know, I did have a certain expertise that maybe they needed at that point in time. And he suggested that, look, you can contribute at that level. He said, we don't have that many people that can do that. I said, maybe we don't have anybody else that can do this at this point in time. And I suppose it was my relationship with Vincent, really, that brought me out there as opposed to anything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a good 5 years there. There was a lot of heavy lifting involved. There was a lot of capital expenditure. We had two house draws. There were some legacy issues there with bank debt. We got all of that stuff sorted. And I completed a five-year term. We had achieved everything that I wanted to achieve off the pitch. Maybe we hadn't achieved what I wanted. I would have loved a senior county championship to be delivered to the park during my time there. That didn't happen. That wasn't to be. But, you know, 5 years was a reasonable period to stay. And, you know, I felt my time was up last November. So I stood aside. And luckily, another local accountant here, Conor Dunn, took my place. And he's well able to replace me.
Okay. Very finally, before I let you go, just in terms of, I know you have strong views in terms of how the pandemic has been handled by the government up until now and what you feel that should be done in the future over the next while.
Yeah, I suppose, look, I think we're very lucky to have Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach at the time the pandemic broke. He's a medical doctor. His second in command, effectively, was the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. Again, we're very fortunate. Micheál Martin was a former Minister for Health. These guys knew exactly, you know, our capabilities and maybe our shortcomings. And we would have a low number of ICU beds per capita. We have maybe 10% of what they have in Germany, for example. So they knew that we weren't going to be able to cope with an onslaught if it came. So they did the sensible thing and shut the country down. And that worked very well. Maybe, you know, it's very difficult to criticise, you know, what has been done because they didn't do a good job. But I suppose what I feel could have been done is airports should have been shut down. And if you look at the likes of Hong Kong, which has a similar population to Ireland, but has a much more densely populated, you know, geographical area, they have about 10% of our deaths and about 10% of transmission rates that we have. And the only difference that Hong Kong has between, you know, their only difference in their response to Ireland is that if you leave Hong Kong without a face mask on, if you leave your house in Hong Kong without a face mask on, you're arrested. And, you know, the research is beginning to show now that if everybody in your population wears a mask outside of their home, you will reduce your transmission rate by approximately 90%. And I think, you know, those numbers are just, they're just too strong to ignore. And I think that if we had done that 3 months ago, we would have effectively taken our transmission rate to zero at this point in time. I still don't think it's too late to do that. And I think the sensible thing to do at this stage would be to, you know, to bring in the requirement to wear a face mask outside the home. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's not what we want. But, you know, as I said to you at one stage, there's a time and a place for a dictator. And, you know, we're in a pandemic. We're in a time of crisis. We need leadership. We don't need debates. We don't need to go around the country and get everybody's opinion and see what's most popular. We need to find a way out of this. And the way out of this is look at the science, look at the research, and do the stuff that works.
Listen, Niall, it's been great to have you on the show. I've enjoyed the conversation. It's been great to get your views on a number of things. So, Niall Doherty, Circle of Light, Chief Financial Officer, thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you, Ciarán.
And that was Niall Doherty from Circle of Light. Next up, Michael McGinty from Donegal Business Network.
Good morning, Michael, and thanks for taking time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Good morning, Ciarán. It's an absolute pleasure.
Michael, tell us about Donegal Business Network and how and why it was established 8 years ago.
8 years ago, it was established because Pascal Curran from Advice First and myself were asked by Business Network International, which has been going since, I think, 2000, to set up a network in Letterkenny. And at the time, there was another network in Donegal Town. So for political reasons or whatever, the guys decided not to open up. But in true Donegal fashion, we decided to go and do it ourselves. So we went ahead using the same sort of structure of it's one person per category. So if you're a plumber, there'll only be one plumber in the group. But when we set it up originally, we were trying to get 21 people. So between us, we invited 100 people. The first day, we got 27. And the second week, we had 57. And then thereafter, it just it stayed around 50. But it was a case of people looking for business in those days. It was a recession, probably much like we're about to go into right now.
Okay.
And in fact, we've noticed a pickup in the number of people contacting us with a view to coming to a meeting. So at a time of an uncertainty, these networks are very, very popular because it's a way of getting referral business, which is the best kind of business you can get. So hard times see networks like us survive. And because it's not a, it's you just said it's a not-for-profit organization. Had it been a for-profit organization as part of BNI, I don't believe it would have lasted because we've had a couple of good years and a lot of our members have come and gone, not because there was anything wrong with the network, but I mentioned Pascal Curran, for instance. Pascal just got too busy and he decided to give up his seat to somebody else who was willing to come in to look for new business. And that's exactly what happened.
Is that the style? Is that the approach members take once they get to a stage where they think they have enough business, they step out and let somebody else in?
Yeah, it's not a policy, but it's the sort of people who last the pace in the group, people who've been there for 2 years or 3 years or whatever, they have that mentality of trying to help other people. So if they find that they're very busy, they're not going to sit in the seat just to block it so that their competition doesn't get, they've grown up. They might have been like that when they come in, but they've grown up. So usually people come in and you see them, we refer to people as being hunters. So they come in, they're firing the business cards out all over the place. You know, Ciarán, who do you know needs painting and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But after a while, people get used to the whole thing of farming rather than hunting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've had a lot of very good members come in and be very successful. Rarely do we get anybody comes in. We haven't had any negative. I think if we almost go on Google review and see, I don't think we've ever had a negative review other than it's 7 o'clock in the morning and do you not do it in the afternoon, which would be a fairly common thing. It's an early start. So we're there at 6:30. Yeah. Visitors come at 6:45. We kick off at Claire Ryan is our current director, and she kicks off at 7 o'clock.
I had the pleasure of sitting
you
on
did.
Your
absolutely
your
right and early
Microsoft Teams meeting middle of the night for me. Listen, but obviously up and at it early. So I mean, people are driven that if they're in business and they're operating their own business themselves, they're up and at it early. So you know, you get up and get at it early, isn't it?
If you're going to join DBN, you're self-selecting. You have to be up early. A lot of people give you an excuse. If you did it at 9 o'clock, I would go. Or if you did it at lunchtime, I would go. You're not self-selecting. You need to stand out from the crowd. Yeah. So like Gary Clark is the solicitor and he joined the very first day and he wouldn't miss it, even though he lives in Dublin half the week. He will come on, you know, as you said, it was digital during the week. So Claire Ryan, who heads up IDIS Technologies, has got us now on Teams. So your first day, that was an interesting one. But it worked pretty well. You seemed to manage okay. And it was your first time using Microsoft Teams?
It was indeed.
Wow. Yeah,
I have used Zoom, so it was different, but it was very efficient. And it's very to the point. I think the business has done much more efficiently that way, funny.
Yeah, we're struggling a wee bit because some of the people who would be there, like Bert Galbraith is a builder and he's in the group, and some of the guys are very gregarious and they like the idea of the touchy-feely bit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe less of the feely, but certainly touchy. Shaking hands. Even when I come into you today, like you automatically go to shake hands.
Yeah.
So it's very different. But if we don't get our heads around the new technology and the new post-COVID way of doing things, then business is going to fail. And I had a conversation this morning with somebody in business and she's afraid that her business is going to fail. And she knows that in her sector, a number of them will fail. So if you don't adopt the new ways of doing things, then you are going to fail. There's an awful lot of grief coming down the line for a lot of people who don't adopt digital and technology and the way we do things. And learning how to talk to people. You know, you're doing it on the radio, so you're used to this. But for people who are normally used to doing all their business face-to-face, people on the roads going around meeting clients can't do that anymore. You can't just walk in the door and start cracking a few jokes. And even that, it's just hard to do.
And that's such an important part of business, is that interaction, that face-to-face conversation, that cup of coffee, that handshake, that is gone. And
no, it hasn't gone. It's gone different.
Okay.
So you have to learn how to be...
Certainly on hold, what would we say?
Well, I think digital is here to stay. So I was talking to Tony in the Chamber of Commerce this morning, and like they've done a fantastic job. And she used WhatsApp as a way of keeping members talking to each other, supporting each other, giving people advice. When John Watson's went on fire, like the people were on like that, you know, the fire had only started. People were organizing GoFundMes. It wasn't that John was looking for it, far from it. But the amount of support that we saw, the outpouring of support for John was quite incredible. And it was partly led by the Chamber having this way of connecting with people through the WhatsApp group. So immediately what happened was Tony came on looking for anyone who could supply bits and pieces that they might have needed. I think John was so well organized, to be honest, that he had everything. And it took him 3 days to realize how many people around the town were doing things in support of him. But I think we have to use technology, whether it's WhatsApp groups or there's a company in town called SendMode, and they make a living sending texts for butchers, bakers, and whatever, candlestick makers, whatever. But we will have to learn how to talk to people. You know the way when you're having a conversation with somebody, if someone doesn't look you straight in the eye, you have this whole thing like, that guy's a bit dodgy because he can't look me in the eye. Well, now you've got to do it from a screen or from your phone. And that's a bit more of a challenge. But as long as you can look people in the eye in real life, you just learn how to do it on the screen. And it may mean getting a mic. Your mics are obviously bigger than my mics, but we may all have to invest in a wee bit of technology and a wee bit of learning as well. So that's coming down the pipe.
I suppose never has been more apparent or more important to be in part of a network at this stage, Michael, too.
Yeah. Like the Chamber of Commerce, definitely, if you're not in the Chamber of Commerce and you're in business, you're probably not, you know, you're not at the races. You need to be, and I know they opened that WhatsApp group to anybody who wanted to join, so it wasn't closed to just members, but it was a huge resource. Whether it was Joe Mangan asking questions about where could he park his bus, or there was an awful lot of people looking for masks when that became a thing. And Eddie Ferry was printing them and doing all sorts of logos on them. And there were restaurants talking to each other about what the COVID policy would be. So if you're trying to do everything on your own, it's very, very difficult. You know, it's what is it? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a group. You know, so there's a huge value in being part of a network or multiple networks. Like DBN is, you asked me recently, if I'm in the Chamber of Commerce and it's so good, why do I need to be in DBN? And I think it's actually... DBN is like the Chamber on steroids. So what happens is in DBN, there's a level of accountability. So you turn up every week, but you're not coming to turn up every week to do nothing. You come every week and you say who you are, what you do, why you're good at what you do, what value you add, and who you want to talk to. So you gave me a very good quote, which was, if it wasn't worth asking for, it's not worth, if it isn't worth asking for, it isn't worth getting. And that came from your mother.
That's great.
Was it?
Yep.
So like that's exactly what we're doing on a Wednesday. If you come to the group on a Wednesday, we expect you to ask for business, because if you're not looking for it, it's not going to come your way. So tell us who you want to talk to. So if I wanted to talk to, say, Sean Quinn here in the station, I could simply ask for an introduction to Sean Quinn. And if somebody thinks that I'm going to add value to Sean, then they'll introduce me. Or they'll contact Sean and say, this guy wants to talk to you about websites, whatever it is. Do you want to talk to him? And that's how it works. It's word of mouth referral. And it's a lot easier to make a sale, when I go somewhere and it's a friend of Kieran's who's referred me there, there's less talk about price or quality. You're lending me that trust and credibility that you've built up with that person. So being a part of a network does that for you, whether it's a chamber or a DBM. But yeah, we're a bit like the chamber on steroids.
Yeah. Trust and credibility are two mainstays of good business, aren't they?
I'd like to think so. Certainly of good business. You know, we have, whatever it is, say 16 of us there every week. And there might be one or two visitors or three or four visitors, whatever. But nobody in the group will ever refer somebody just because they're in the group. By being in the group, you get to know each other. And then ideally, you get to like each other. And then at that stage, you get to trust each other. And you brought up a point we talked recently about knowing and trusting. And again, I think that was your mother's a very wise woman.
Yeah.
Knowing and trusting is very important. Liking is probably not quite as important. But personally, we all like to deal with people that we like. But if you can get insurance from somebody in town and you know them and you can trust them, you don't necessarily have to like them, but it helps. It certainly helps. And it certainly helps from the point of view of getting referrals, because you will refer your insurance company if it's a case that, whether it's CHD or whatever you're dealing with, a heart insurance, you'll refer them because you've had a good experience and you like them.
Yeah.
And if you don't like them, you'll just insure the car, but you won't bother referring them.
Yeah. Just over 1 million euro generated annually for members. That's a lot of money that sort of goes around as such, Michael.
Yeah, and you know what, it's understated, because what happens is if I get a bit of business from somebody as a result of a referral, I hand in a thank you, just to say thank you, and that thank you is counted. It's not a commission or anything, it's just a thank you for the business, Kieran. And we record that, so we know that we don't get to record everything that happens. So like every time I go out for dinner or, you know, buy something in the shop, whatever, if that came from an introduction in DBN, it never really ends up in paper. But we do have on paper, at least last year was 1.2 million. So if we have, say we had 12 full-time members, we probably have about 16, but if we had 12, it's 100,000 each. So it's 2,000 euro a week. So for every week you go to this 90-minute meeting, you're getting 2,000 euro worth of business.
Yeah.
And some people might get a bit more and some people might get a bit less, but it's sort of pretty much equates to 100,000 euro a year in business, which if for a lot of people, 100,000 euro is a lot of money. You know, it's good going.
Yeah. Has the network changed much over the last 8 years, Michael?
Oh, has it changed? Nearly everybody has changed. So nearly everybody who was there the first day is gone. We've had one member who used to work with a real estate agent, but then he became a BER specialist. So he's doing BER audits on houses. And he stayed in the group. So he used to be in the real estate agents, and then he left and he set up himself, but he joined the network. And I think that's helped him. And he would work well with the builder. He'd work well with the architect. And Bill Steele, again, is the architect. And he's been there. If he isn't there day one, he's pretty much close to it. So the rest of it, people come and people go. I think what's changing a wee bit is the gender balance, which is a very, very good thing. It's very hard for women to make the time to be there in the morning, usually because they're more mature than their spouse and they're looking after a lot of things in the house. Maybe I know I get up in the morning, I just go to work, and Adele looks after everything else. And as much as I might appreciate it, I still manage after all these years not to be responsible for getting kids up, out, fed, schooled, whatever. But we have, as I said, Claire Ryan is our current director. Heather Peoples, reminding me, was our last director. Ruth Graham, the illustrator, Ireland's foremost illustrator, was our previous director. So we haven't got enough women. But that's what's changed over the years. We have probably less fuddy-duddy older guys, boys network. And so it's opening up, and that gender balance is getting better. Susan Stevenson's a member as well. So that's probably the most positive thing that's changed. Money-wise, yes, every year we turn over more.
Okay.
Maybe we're just getting better at what we do.
Okay. And obviously you mentioned the not-for-profit aspect to it, which I mentioned in the lead-in. You do selfless work as well for needy charities and people less fortunate than ourselves.
Yeah, we did a bit of fundraising for Michaela Breen a couple of years ago, and Manus Kelly was a member, and he kindly gave us the use of his premises. So we did a sponsored car wash, which is good fun. I don't know that the cars got worse, but we all got very dirty as a result of it. And Michaela's mother managed to keep on going and raising enough money for Michaela to have an operation that if she'd waited for it here, it probably would have been a bit too late, where she managed to go to the UK and get it done because of the fundraising that was done. And the week before Manus died, So no, we would have been a few weeks after the rally. We didn't want to cross over with the rally. We were also going to use Manus's premises again to do a fundraising for HST Ireland, which is a charity close to my heart. It's a vascular disorder. My nephew died in 2012 as a result of this. So what happens in DBN is we put forward charities that we want to represent or to do some fundraising for. And in this case, it happened to be HST last year. The year before was Michaela, but another year could be the hospice or it could be the Friends of the Hospital or whatever. So that's something that we do just to give back to the community as best we can. So it very much is a not-for-profit. We all throw in a couple hundred euro each year, and that's to pay for whatever paperwork or whatever posters or whatever we're doing. We've been going to Radisson Hotel for years simply because it's a good business hotel. And again, Paul and his team down there look after us very well. So it's one of those things on a Wednesday morning. Anybody who wants to come along, it's DonegalVisitNetwork.ie. Have a look and see if you're interested in coming along. You were there last week. There was no pain.
No pain.
What did you think? No, we're, you know, pretend we're not on air. What did you really think?
I didn't know what to expect, but it was very, very, very well organised, and it was exactly as you explained it to me it was going to be. It was very businesslike, and there was an agenda there. It was very stiff, it was very straightforward, and there was no messing around, which is the way meetings I like them to be.
Did you get the feeling that it was done, that there, the people who were there to support each other, or were they there to try and sell something, or was it all people?
Well, I thought there was a sense of purpose, and whatever that is, but there was a very, very much a sense of purpose, and a very much a sense of togetherness, and everybody knew what everybody else needed to be doing, and was very much well organised and well structured. So good. That's what I took from it.
Yeah, I think that accountability adds a lot. It's not easy being a member in many ways. For some people, they find this idea of, you know, if everybody tells you, Kieran, there's no point in you coming on a Wednesday if you're not going to look for work.
Right.
That can be hard to take for people, you know. Yeah. So you really have to grow up a little bit and say, okay, well, where do I want the work from? What kind of work do I want? Like, what am I selling? What am I selling it for? What do I want to get back? And like, it'll get deep into what is the whole focus of your business. You get up in the morning, every Monday morning you go to work, like, why have you got a business? 30 years from now, when you retire and you look back over your life's work, are you going to be happy that you did what you did for 30 years? So when people start asking you that when you're 30, like Ruth has just gone 30, which would mind me mentioning her age, Ruth Graham, the illustrator, and what Ruth does has changed a lot since she came into the group, because everybody helps each other focus. We do one-to-ones. Everybody does a one-to-one during the week, which is 1 hour of me meeting you or you meeting me, whatever. But only one person talks, so the focus is on you. So for an hour, you're telling me why you're in business and what you want to achieve out of your business and what kind of clients do you want to meet. And I can ask you any question, like, what's your margin? How many do you need to sell a week? And it gets pretty deep.
Down the nitty-gritty.
It's a bit like psychotherapy for business people. So I highly recommend it for anybody, to be honest. And we're open for visitors, as you know, so we welcome anybody.
Good.
Come in and try it at least once.
Just in relation to your own business, Minute Web Design Agency,
mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Been in web for 20 years, probably way before a lot of people were getting into it. And it used to be based in Sandyford. But I made the decision to come back, I got permission to come back from my wife. what was that, 1998? And we had two ISDN lines in the house. So I started doing websites with two developers in Dublin, who subsequently moved to Galway, but I used the ISDN lines in Letterkenny, so I live out there, Melton Road. And it was a bit tough in those days, but most people didn't want to get into web anyway. It was a big company, so we were working with Golden Discs and Grant Thornton's and some big names and some big projects. And we developed sort of a website platform ourselves. But over the years, we've migrated. We're now a specialist WordPress agency. So we do only WordPress websites, and we only work for professional business, service businesses, so solicitors, architects, builders, that sort of thing. And the guys who are working in the business have all come back. So we've all come back. So John, who's in the office today, has come back. He was in Dubai, and then he came back to Dublin. And himself and Michelle then decided that Letterkenny was home, and they wanted to bring up a family. And whilst they would get a lot more money living in Dublin, the truth was Letterkenny was home and was a better place to bring up their children. And they have Caitlin, number one, 3 or 4 more to go, I'm sure. We ended up with 4, and they all went to the Gael School and the Gael Colossia, and they all worked out very well. So they were playing their Gaelic in unions, and their rugby down at the Glebe, It wasn't a big school, and you mentioned the other day, were you there the day that they moved up from Strachan House?
Yeah.
Which was Kelly's, my day. My day is probably a bit before your day, because you were friendly with the Dunions.
That's right.
I would be friendly with the Kellys.
You're giving away your age now.
Showing my age. But that was a big day for them. My daughter that was her final year, so she got 6 months, I think, in the new school. And did we have the Taoiseach come up to visit? Was that Endicenny? A few big opening days, but that school has been a sun wonder. So our four children have had a great education, some wonderful teachers, some great dedication. And again, it's a school, it probably wouldn't be first choice. You know, it's all Irish, it's small, you have to give a lot. So you can't just go in and do a couple of hours. You really have to be a dedicated teacher to take a job there. But look at the size of it now.
Finally, Michael, wrapping things up, what's your vision or what's your outlook on things for business people like yourself going forward now?
I think it's a huge opportunity for Donegal. I really do. And, you know, it's going to be very challenging. I don't know much about hospitality. It's not an area that we work in. And that definitely is going to be a bit of a challenge. But when it comes to young people having an opportunity to work in Donegal, like I came back, and to be honest, it wasn't a very good time to be coming back. And I guess what we would have been getting as contracts and work that we did in Dublin, there was a lot of less zeros on the work that we were doing back in Donegal, trying to convince people in Donegal they should have a website when maybe they weren't. Radio would be more popular.
Sure.
And radio works. You know, the print medium, which you come from, I mean, that had a really, really tough time moving on to the 2020s. It's a very tough time for newspapers. But I do see that Donegal is a great place to live. And the only thing holding people back from living in Donegal, bringing up their family in Donegal, is the salary that you're going to get. Because you go to Dublin, you could get twice the salary, especially if you're in IT. But now you could live in Annagry. And as long as you've got fiber broadband, if you need an office, you can go in to the GTEC in Gidor. But I actually think that now is the time for us to remind all the kids that we have that there is an opportunity. So my son is at home at the moment, and he's working for a firm in Boston because of the flight restrictions. He can't get in. He works for a firm in Boston. He has an apartment in Boston, but he can't get into Boston. So he's sitting down coding away, working away, and that can be done. And if he wants to come back at Christmas, just comes back with a laptop, and as long as we've got broadband, there might be a bit of a fight if we're all watching Netflix.
Right.
But it's a huge opportunity for Donegal. Like, you couldn't, people always say when they come here on holidays, it's the nicest place they've ever visited, and that the people are very, very nice. But of course, they're not going to live here because they couldn't make a living. Well, that excuse is gone now. So, you know, you've got some kids and I've got some kids. Will they all come back? I don't know. I came back because Donegal was Donegal, and I wanted to spend some time with my dad at the time. But I'd like to think that anybody who wants to live here will have that opportunity. You know, there'll always be a job. There will be a job. If you get a job with a company in Dublin, whether it's Google or Intel or Facebook, you can still work in Donegal and do the work. So times are going to be good, hopefully, for Donegal.
Great. Michael, I've really enjoyed your conversation. I've enjoyed your views, and hope we'll talk soon. I wish Donegal Business Network all the best, and Minute Web Design Agency all the best for the future as well. Thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you, Ciarán.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Niall Doherty and Michael McGinty. I'd like to thank Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening.